here we go. Ready to forgive and be free. Liberation. This is what forgiveness is all about. It's about our liberation. And I'm so happy that you're joining me and we're doing this today. Thank you, thank you. So we're going to begin, as always, with a prayer. So let's start off with that. Prayer, I invite you to place your hand on your heart and let's join together from the heart, truly. So grateful to take these deep breaths and tune into the high vibration of gratitude. Being grateful lifts our vibration, which expands our capacity to look at things that are challenging. It expands our willingness to be loving, to be kind, to be gentle, to be insightful, to be intuitive, to be awake and aware. So we take these breaths of gratitude to launch us into this class today, into our life of true love and true forgiveness. So grateful and so thankful to let the past go. We are grateful to partner up with that higher Holy Spirit self. We're allowing ourselves to fully recognize the opportunity that lies before us. We're allowing ourselves to recognize our divinity and to place our divinity in charge of our healing and transformation. We are cultivating the willingness to let go of all attachments to false beliefs and to the habits that support the false beliefs. We are grateful to set ourselves free and to be a liberating presence in this world, in our family, in our community, in our workplace. We are grateful for all of this and so much more. We share the benefits of our healing and our gratitude and our willingness with all beings because we are one with them. We share the same mind. Our mind is the mind of God. Our life is the life of God. Our heart is the heart of God. And we are grateful to know it is so, and so it is. Amen. 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 Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. So let me take stock here. For those of you who... We've got a mix of people here. We've got a mix of people who've been in Masterful Living for years. We've got a mix of people who just signed up for Masterful Living. And we've got a bunch of people who are doing the Forgive and Be Free class as a standalone class. And to those of you who are doing Forgive and Be Free as a standalone class, you'll get a free refund, a full refund. If you sign up for living next year. So just do that. And in a certain way, this series of forgiveness classes is similar to what we do in Masterful Living. It's fairly similar that I am offering a teaching about something, giving us a chance to dive deeply into it and look at it and apply it to our own lives. So that's what it's about. So don't expect just a lecture from me. I have found that that is not that healing. But when we're interactive and we have a dialogue and we're sharing with each other and we do breakouts and we look at things deeply, then we do have extraordinary amounts of healing. So let me see, Bob, I can ask you to turn on your camera and that'll pop up a button for you. Anybody else who would like to turn on their camera and doesn't know how, you can put a message in the chat. So good for you. And I see we also have a bunch of folks from the Spiritual Counseling Training Intensive. So they're in it to win it, like Katya. And she's going to be with us all day till about probably close to midnight her time in Luxembourg. So So the first thing I'd like to do is just by a show of hand, see who is here that did not see or participate in the first part one. Okay, we've got a couple here. So, you know, I'm going to do a little review on that. Okay, a little review on that. And I'm going to use my slides to help me with that. I'm having a little issue with my technology today, but we're going to get that. I think I figured it out. Sometimes Zoom is just, it's my friend, but it's a little bit of a reluctant friend. All right. So, one of the things we looked at last time is what forgiveness is not, because I find that this is one of the great misconceptions, is people don't realize what forgiveness is not. And people have all kinds of ideas about what they think forgiveness is, but it's not. And that creates a real resistance to actual forgiveness. And so forgiveness is not saying that it's okay. It's never just saying, oh, that's okay. Never mind. That's okay. No, no problem. No, it's all right. Don't worry. No, it's never, that is not forgiveness. That is not forgiveness. And let's face it, when someone has been, so it seems, if they feel like they have been deeply wounded, then it's, oh, come on. Oh, my Zoom, my little Zoom friend. Let's see here. Okay. Something funky, but I'm got to work around here. All right, so if let's say someone has been molested or they've had their retirement funds stolen, their house burned to the ground, they're never in a million years gonna go to, it's okay, I don't mind. You're never gonna go to that. So that's not what forgiveness is. It has nothing to do with forgiveness. It's not saying, oh, okay, yeah, you molested me when I was a child, but I don't care about that anymore. I'm over it. No, that's not what forgiveness is. Not at all. And it's not saying, I give up. I'm not going to care about this anymore. I'm not going to fight this anymore. It's not saying that kind of thing either. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is fundamentally, it's this thing, releasing the attachment to the meaning you gave of it. So let me give you an example. Let's see what spirit gives me. Let me take a sip of my spiritual espresso. So I do find sometimes it's helpful to use extreme examples, like somebody being molested. When someone's been molested, sometimes the meanings are, well, you know what? I'm going to ask you folks, what are some of the meanings if you have been molested or you know somebody who's been molested, what are some of the meanings that you have made of it that you're aware of? And I am going to make sure that yes, you have the power to unmute yourself. So let's just look at that. What are some of the meanings that you have made of maybe something that you would like to forgive? It doesn't have to even be you were molested. You know, maybe someone stole something from you. Or yeah, you can put it in the chat, but you can also wave and you can also unmute yourself. So anybody, Amanda says that there would be trauma. Cassandra says that I brought it on myself. Claire's, oh no.
Jennifer, maybe that life is not safe, the world is not safe, or
perfect.
People are dangerous.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Rebecca says, I deserved it. There's something wrong with me. Patrick's my buddy. That was my big thing. Everything was proof that there's something wrong with me. Something unfixably, horribly wrong with me, if only I could figure out what it is. But it was so pervasive, so completely like a vermin in my soul that there was no fixing it. Melissa, God hates me. Yeah. I didn't fight it off. Yeah, there's the self-judgment there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good if everybody can even think of one. You don't have to necessarily share it, but it is good if you can think of one. Meg says that I'm powerless. You know, I used to take offense to everything when I was younger, and it was a lot of it was, you don't love me, you don't care about me. If you loved me, you wouldn't have done that. If you care about me, you wouldn't have done that. Over and over and over again. Another thing is, of course, is I would make the meaning of it that you don't love me. And then I would go on from there. Megs also says victim. Suzanne says I was bound to be abused. I was a prime victim. Katya says, feeling to be a victim, feeling injustice. Yeah. I became needy. I'm unlovable. God is punishing me. You see how alike we are? We really have so many things in common. It's important to notice how alike we are, because most people, when they begin this work, they do feel especially bad. And that's how I used to feel, like there's something so wrong with me. I'm especially bad. I think I'm evil. I think I might be really like a demon seed type person. Just completely without merit. People don't have respect for me. Yeah, exactly. All good ones. So these are examples of the meaning that we made of it. Now, here's the other thing that forgiveness is. It's the release of the attachment to our opinion that someone is. So whether we think it's us or we think it's them, forgiveness is releasing the attachment to the opinion that someone is bad or wrong. So in a lot of the things that were put in the chat, there's something wrong with me, right? I'm the one who's bad and wrong. But if we think that there's something, if we're having trouble forgiving someone who seemed to have done something to us, that wounded us, don't we also label them as bad and wrong? Don't we do that? Yeah, of course we do. That's what we do. So in order to get to true forgiveness, which is freedom, freedom mentally and emotionally, and even physically and financially, in order to get to that true forgiveness, we have to let go of the idea that anyone is bad or wrong. And it's a leap. It's a real leap, and we can't do it intellectually. It's got to come from our heart. But if we're willing, we can get into the heart space of there's nobody that's bad or wrong. It's the things that we choose to do that are mean, unloving, unkind. But let me not think that people are bad or wrong, but it's the choices that they make. So to use an extreme example, someone like Adolf Hitler, he's not bad or wrong, but what he did was incredibly unloving. It was just incredibly, incredibly twisted, hurtful, malicious, unkind, destructive. But let us not label the person, because we're one with that person throughout eternity, forever and ever and ever. And if we label one other person bad or wrong, we have to wear that label too. But we can say, well, what they did was destructive. I stay away from the words bad and wrong. I just do. I'd rather find another way to characterize what happened. Destructive to me feels more helpful, more clear than just bad or wrong. If I say it's destructive, it's unkind, it's unloving, it's malicious, it's vindictive, those words to me are more descriptive. And there's a greater sense of accuracy to what the person's intention was. All right, so, and then, oh, what's happening now? Here's the other thing that forgiveness is. It's releasing the attachment to thinking we're right about our interpretation, right? So if we look at our list of interpretations, I'm unlovable, people don't have respect for me, I'm a victim, there's no justice, God hates me, I should have fought it off, I should have protected myself, all these things, I brought it on myself, I should have known better. We need to be willing to release our attachment to thinking we're right about our interpretation. And let's face it, the interpretation, the meaning that we made of it, these are the same things. They really are. The meaning we made of it is our interpretation. So that's in a nutshell, one of the main thing that we covered in the first class is what forgiveness is and what forgiveness is not. Now, for the folks who are not in Masterful Living, have not been in Masterful Living, did you write a forgiveness letter after the last class? I gave you that. We have a few. Paula did. Patrick did, Charlene did. Yeah, good, good. And because I see a lot of Masterful Living people and they've all written lots of forgiveness letters. Jerry, did you get a letter done? Awesome, Rockstar, great. Don't worry if you didn't. Megs, you've written them, so you know. So who went to Forgiveness Friday yesterday for the first time? Okay, Charlene went for the first time. Anna Marie, probably not your first time. Anybody else for the first time? Kathy, good for you. And Kathy, did you have a letter? No? No. Okay. And you can unmute yourself if you like. If you like, Kathy.
No, I started to write a letter, but I didn't finish it. But I've been thinking a lot about it. I wanted to get a bit more understanding.
Good for you. Excellent. Well done.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. It's a journey. It's a journey.
Right? Yeah.
And what do they say? The journey of 1,000 steps starts with one step.
The first step.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing here. All right. So I would like to ask those of you who were writing forgiveness letters for the first time, Did you have any confusion about it? Because that was one of the things we did in the first class, was we went over the forgiveness letter. We went over it. Anybody have any confusion? Did it make sense? Okay, great. If, oh, Paula. Can you unmute yourself there?
There we go. I wasn't confused. It's just that I had so much things that I needed to forgive. I didn't know where to start.
Yeah.
So I started at the beginning, you know, with my father, but, you know, it led to, as I got through it, it led to every, so many of my resentments all in that one letter, which started with my father, but ended up with me being angry at myself.
It's normal. Yeah, that is totally normal. And who else felt, had that kind of an experience with their first letter? Yeah, it's normal. A lot of people have that. So good for you. Did you go all the way to the end?
I did. And I just thought, I'll probably be writing these letters the rest of my life.
You might. But you know what? You get to the point where you've really pretty much cleared the past.
Mm-hmm.
Just things that are coming up now. And when you get to that point, really, your whole life is so different. Your experience of life is so different. You feel glad and grateful. I've got a tool for that. You know, I feel annoyed, frustrated, or upset, bothered by something that happened at work or with your family. Boom, you sit down, you write a letter, you're back again, you know. Yeah. You don't have to spend a lot of your life, you know, eating cake, trying to stuff those feelings, or, you know, whatever the things are that we all do to run away from how we feel, because it's so overwhelming. Yeah.
Good. You know, for I thought I dealt with this before. You know, the first half of my life, I've been in therapy and recovering alcohol, you name it, everything I've had. And I thought I dealt with it before. And then when I started writing, there it was again.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you know why?
Because it's still there.
But do you know why it's still there?
I think it's because I've never really looked at it to forgive myself. I've forgiven my father and my husband and blah, blah, blah. But I have never really forgiven myself.
Yes, that's it. And it's also, Paula, it is so much about accepting that I'm the one that gave it this meaning.
Yes.
I'm the one that gave it this interpretation. I'm the one that gave everything in the world, on the street, in my house, in my life, in my marriage, in my family, all the meaning that it has for me.
Uh-huh.
That's the very beginning of A Course in Miracles. I've given everything I see all the meaning that it has for me.
Uh-huh.
That's how I say it. So, yes. And what we're doing in this forgiveness class, in Masterful Living, we are working through giving up the interpretation and the meaning. We have an attempt. And I frequently teach about attachments. It's such a good word. It's so helpful for us. And for me, I got it from my teacher, who's a Native American and also a Buddhist. And the Buddha taught about attachments, that all attachments cause suffering all the time. Every attachment is a cause of suffering. All suffering is caused by attachments. And attachments come, I call it, two flavors. Cravings and aversions. That's what the Buddha taught. All attachments are either cravings or aversions. Cravings are what we need, what we want, what we think we have to have. And aversions are, I can't stand that. I hate that. That repulses me. It makes me sick. So cravings and aversions. Every opinion is an attachment. If you are able to peel it back, you can see what the craving or the aversion is. And so this is what we do. We do such basic work in Masterful Living. It's very, very fundamental. We're not casting spells and creating potions and doing some esoteric stuff about bilocating. We are clearing out all the false beliefs and really healing our mind back to the root cause of all these false beliefs and misperceptions. And I absolutely believe, and we talked about this last time as well, that we brought the vast majority of all this stuff with us into this world. It was already pre-installed because we had written a script with the Holy Spirit to clear it all out by bringing it up for healing. So getting triggered and bringing things up for healing. So when people seem to betray us and people seem to hurt us and do all these things, sometimes what they're doing is they're fulfilling their, well, they're always fulfilling their activity in the script. They are. And so if we can step back and begin to just accept, not understand, but just accept, okay, in A Course in Miracles, Jesus says, everything works together for good and there are no exceptions. I've been making exceptions all my life. I'm going to spend a year not making exceptions anymore. I'm going to start recognizing all the exceptions that I'm making and I'm going to start claiming my good. Okay, so I didn't get the promotion. They passed me over because they wanted that pretty young woman instead of me. I get that. Somehow that's for my good. I'm going to claim my good by forgiving myself for the interpretation I made of it, the meaning I made of it, for thinking it had anything to do with me and seeing that, thinking that there was no good in it for me. I'm going to forgive myself for taking that attitude for the last 5 years and getting passed over again and again because I was sitting in resentment stew, boiling away all this time. Now I'm ready to claim my good. Whatever that is, Spirit, bring it to me. I am willing, I am willing, I am willing. And our willingness is all that is required. So here's what I'd like to, who else went to Forgiveness Friday yesterday? Beautiful, beautiful. And so, Cassandra, was that your first time? No, you've been before. Bob, how about you? Was that your first time?
Yes. And I wanted to say to you that I can't do the forgiveness letter because my computer is not working. And I have it on my phone and I'm trying to figure out how to send it to the computer. So I was just wondering, if I can't do that, can you send me a hard copy of it or anything?
Can we mail it to you?
Yeah. Would that be feasible?
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll here's the thing. We'll get you tech support to figure it out.
Okay.
We will. I won't be able to do it today, I don't think, but tomorrow.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I'll try myself throughout the day.
Yeah, can you read?
I didn't hear you. You broke up.
Can you read it on your phone?
Yeah, I think so. If I make it really large. Yeah.
All right. Then if you can read it on your phone, you can write it down longhand.
That's true too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what I would also offer to you, Bob, is I do this when I see that there's some impediment. Like sometimes I'll be doing a counseling session. I might be the client. I might be with my counselor, or I'm doing a counseling session for somebody else. And there comes a point where the person is bringing up something they have a lot of resistance to. They have a lot of resistance to looking at the truth about it. And now is the time the leaf blower guy is right outside the window. You know, now is the time the smoke alarm goes off. Now is the time that, oh, I can't get the thing to work. So I've learned that to take responsibility for the leaf blower guy and the smoke alarm and whatever it is, and to say, okay, universe, God, Jesus, angels, Mother Mary, Buddha, whoever you got there, infinite field of perfect love, I'm willing to do this work. I'm willing to do this work now, and I will not be stopped. I'm asking for 100% support from the invisible. I'm willing, I'm willing, I'm willing. It's happening now. I will not be deterred. It's on, like Donkey Kong. And see what shifts in the field. Yes. So I offer that to everybody, because resistance is normal. You know, on Star Trek, they said resistance is futile. Is that where that came from? Something like that. Some of those science fiction shows. But resistance is normal. It's normal. We all have resistance. We've invested so much into our complaints and our regrets and our resentments. You know, we've built huge mausoleums to the blame. It's other people, they did it to me. Totally understandable. I spent a lot of time in that energy, but I reached a point where I said, there's got to be a way out. I can't do this anymore. It's not how my life is to be. So that's why we joined together to do this work. But Bob, you went to Forgiveness Friday, so you listened to other folks, right? And
yes, I did.
Yeah. What was that like for you?
I can't really say, because I was just so freaking out about not having a letter.
Okay. That
I probably missed all the good points.
Okay. Not a problem. Just everything works together for good. No exceptions for you. This then becomes the juice to motivate you to be unstoppable. Let's just say that. I'll hold that with you if you'd like to hold that.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Good for you, Bob. Okay. So, sorry, I asked you to unmute. I didn't mean to. I hear somebody unmuted.
Yeah.
Oh, Anna Marie, yes.
Yeah, I have an experience of two people are just annoying me, or I don't like them, and I have no understanding why or how or what, and I feel I have to forgive that somehow, but I don't know how. I don't know where to go for that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, nobody did anything against me, or, you know, but I just, somehow I have I just feel like that, I push you away, you know?
Yeah, I totally know what you mean. I totally get that. I'm so glad you brought that up, Anna Marie. Who can relate to that? Feeling annoyed by people? Okay. Who doesn't feel annoyed by people ever? Anybody? Good, because if you felt that way, you would not be my people. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I still feel annoyed and frustrated by what's happening in the world on an almost daily basis, but I have a different experience of it now. But I do know what you're talking about very well, Anna Marie. I could probably write a book about that. So here is what we can do, because all healing's at the level of the mind. We're working at the level of the mind. So here's what we can do. We can realize that we're interpreting something in a way, and we talked about this some the other day too. It's we're not bothered. Oh, maybe we talked about it in the spiritual counseling training intensive. we didn't talk about it here. Sorry. It's lots of long days of teaching. We are not upset for the reason we think. Lesson number 5 in the workbook. I'm never upset for the reason I think. And usually the reason I think, or inevitably the reason I think I'm upset, is some opinion or judgment. It's some attachment. It is making somebody right, making somebody wrong. And now here's the thing, catch this. This is really important. And I'm just gonna mute you out, Anna Marie, because you have some background noise sometimes. But you can always unmute yourself again. Now, this is so, so important to understand. It took me a lot of willingness to get this. What's upsetting us is not what's happening. What's upsetting us is that we're choosing to think unloving thoughts. We are spiritual beings designed to walk in this world being truly helpful, broadcasting love, extending love, extending kindness, extending patience, cultivating our willingness, and demonstrating the power and the beauty of willingness to our brothers and sisters so that they will come back into their right mind. We are designed to be teachers of God and to walk in this world being truly helpful, representing, or I like to say sometimes representing, the one who sent us, which is our Creator. So we are, that's the truly helpful prayer. It's page 28 of my course, it's over there, my Course in Miracles book, right? I'm here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent the one who sent me. I like to paraphrase it and just say, and the one who sent me is going to tell me where to go, what to do, who to talk with, and how, what to say. Everything I need will be provided to me if I'm willing to represent the one who sent me. So I don't have to worry about what to do ever, in any day ever, in any situation ever. Because I will be led and guided if I'm willing, and I am willing. So when we feel irritated and frustrated, which I do on a regular basis, then what we're not willing to be loving and represent spirit in that moment. We've made an interpretation of things based on our past. And that past interpretation is lodged in our awareness like a splinter in our finger, and it's painful. And you know, if you've got a splinter in your finger and you don't touch it, sometimes it doesn't hurt at all, right? But then you touch it, you're like, oh dang, that hurts, right? Because that splinter is now poking. So when we get triggered, that splinter in our mind, that opinion, that judgment, that attachment, oh, it hurts. We get triggered. Ah, I'm irritated. I'm frustrated. I'm sad. I'm angry. I'm hurt. I'm afraid. I'm worried. The splinter is getting triggered. Because then we can say to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, take this thought out of my mind so I never think it again. I'm done with it. I don't need this splinter in my mind anymore. So when there's irritation and frustration, we don't like people. If we're bothered, it's because we're thinking unloving thoughts. And we're the splinter in our mind, our past experience is coming up for healing. And if we can see the truth in the moment, we can actually heal the splinter from the past in this experience now. And this is exactly what A Course in Miracles is all about. And that's what our lives are about. That's what we're doing, is that we're letting go of our attachments to our interpretations and the meaning we made of things in the past by having a healing in our mind now. So everything that triggers us is an opportunity for healing. One of the things that I teach in Masterful Living is when you feel triggered, if you can develop the superhuman spiritual skill of going to gratitude. Oh, I'm grateful. I'm being triggered so I can have a healing, and I'm willing to have a healing right now. Claire.
Thanks, Jennifer. It's so powerful what you're saying. And I just wanted to share something that when you, so I've been working with you for a few years now. And at the beginning, whenever you used to say things like that, like we are loving, we are here, you know, our true identity is kind and good. I really didn't believe that about myself. And that was a big, you know, I would just think, oh no, I'm not, because you don't know what's going on in my mind. I've got so many attack thoughts. And it has actually taken me a few years to get to the stage where I would actually believe that, yeah, that is my true identity. And I think that's so important with this forgiveness work, is like, it's forgiving myself for believing that actually I was, you know, at heart, I was unkind and irritable and all those, you know, that the attack thoughts were actually part of me. So I just want to thank you for always saying that and being so definite about it.
Yeah, thank you for reflecting that back, Claire, because yeah, thank you, Megs. Because that's exactly me, right? Remember, I used to feel that I was fundamentally evil. I used to really wonder about that. Am I fundamentally evil? Am I just an evil person? Because I would get so angry, and I could be so unkind. I could be cruel. I could be vicious in the things I would say to people, just absolutely cut them to the quick. And it's terrified me. And it also made me angry, because when there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of fear and a lot of hurt. As we talk about in Masterful Living, as we are doing this healing work. So thank you for reflecting that. Terrence.
No, I wanted to say that since I've been doing forgiveness work and you know, following the principles of Masterful Living, I noticed this year after the election, you know, and all the craziness of this election, that I was not, it was really interesting for me, because I realized that I was holding a space of love for all of the people who supported Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wasn't having, you know, in previous situations, if this had happened, say, 10 years ago, I would have been totally angry and, you know, caught up and, you know, this side and that side, and how could they vote for him, and what are they thinking, and what's wrong with those people? And I didn't have any of that. All I had was love and compassion for them. And it was just a whole new space for me, you know, because I couldn't even find any anger to have for them. And all I did, you know, and I was like, well, and also I was like, and I'm just going to forgive them. I'm just going to forgive them for, you know, for whatever they're doing that I might think, you know, doesn't agree with me. I'm going to still love these people and forgive them anyway. And I was like, because now that just shows me that we really need forgiveness on our planet. And it's like, so I'm going to do my part and just forgive these people and love these people and hold a space of love for them. And I've never been able to, you know, just totally not have any opinion about, you know, something, you know, this big and volatile, and, you know, all the, you know, we know all the stuff that's going on. And I just disconnected myself from it because, you know, I realized that, you know, I'm here to love people, and I'm here to be a loving influence. And I'm like, well, I can't be a loving influence if I'm thinking that someone is an idiot because they voted for Donald Trump. Right. And, you know, so I didn't go there. And it was but the thing that really amazed me, that it was easy for me not to go there. It was just, no, I'm going to choose love, and I'm going to stay in love. And I stayed in it. And it just, in the love, and as I stayed in the love just kept growing and growing. And, you know, I had more love to give. And every day, you know, it's like I spend time praying about that and thinking about that and sending love to that situation. So, you know, the forgiveness, and I know it's from, you know, writing the letters and from,
you know, just changing the way that I think, because my thinking has changed 180 degrees since I started Masterful Living. And I, you know, and I'm totally in a space of love all the time. And it's really amazing and wonderful just to, you know, be able to step in that space and to be in that space, because literally, you know, I was wondering, you know, when I first started at the beginning of the year, is this really possible for me? And yes, it is. You know, yes, it is, because now, you know, it's like, you know, this has been a very difficult year for a lot of us in a lot of different ways, but yet I've been able to kind of rise above the battleground and just stay in joy, you know, remembering God's will for me is perfect happiness, and then claiming that for myself and allowing that, you know, to manifest as my life. And even when things aren't going my way, I'm still happy and I'm still joyful, because I know, you know, first of all, I've learned to practice patience. Because, you know, I'm like, well, just, you know, just because it's not here now doesn't mean it's not coming. You know, it's just not here now. So don't get, you know, all upset about it. Just put your, you know, again, putting that trust and faith in love and that trust and faith in God, and just knowing, you know, knowing the truth that sets me free. It really helps. It really makes a big difference.
Yes. Yes, yes. Fantastic. Yeah. So do you feel empowered in your life now? Yeah. That's it. You know, you move out of victimhood, right? Because a lot of people in the chat, they had that they felt like victims. Totally understandable. Very understandable. Anybody else like to share something about, you know, let me tell you about forgiveness. Oh, you know what? Actually, Claire is often a facilitator at Forgiveness Fridays. We have volunteer facilitators. Claire, would you just, for those who haven't been to Forgiveness Friday, would you explain what it is? And before you do, I just want to say this. So for those of you who might be in this class, not be taking Masterful Living and not join us next year, one of the things you can do, and I believe I mentioned this the other day, is you can get the Forgive and Be Free workshop on the homepage, not Forgive and Be Free, the How to Get Over It free workshop on the homepage at jenniferhadley.com. And there's more forgiveness work there. There's the forgiveness letter. There's other things. If you sign up for that, it's totally free. So you can invite a friend to do that. And then you've got that, and you've got these classes as well. You can invite a friend over and say, let's do this together. And then write a forgiveness letter. And then you can read them to each other. And so you can make your own Forgiveness Friday. But I just want to say that you have lots of resources. I'm here to support you and give you lots of resources for anybody who'd like to do this work, because it means liberation for everybody when anyone does this work. So Claire, why don't you describe Forgiveness Fridays for us?
Yeah, sure. Forgiveness Fridays, it's a group like this that meets on Zoom every Friday, and there's two opportunities. So the first one is at 4 p.m. Eastern, and the second one is at 9:15 Eastern, and it lasts for an hour. And we always have a facilitator which prays in and goes through the kind of like the instructions for people that are there for the first time. And the size of the group varies. Sometimes it's 6, sometimes it's 16, you know. And what happens is you are really welcome to come either with a letter to read or without, because as I put in the chat and said to Bob, you know, we need people to listen as well. And it's very healing for people to have others to listen to their letters. And so after we've gone through the instructions and we read some guidelines for how to share and listen from the heart, then we go into small breakout groups of 2, 3, 4, depending on how many people are there, for about 30 minutes. And usually we have 2 people in that small group that will read their letters. And this week we go into the smaller group, so it's more private and it's not recorded. these sessions, because sometimes people share really private things. And after half an hour, we come back into the bigger group, and usually people have things to share, and usually they come back with big smiles on their faces, which I love. And they're really grateful to the people that they shared with, and they talk about how much better and lighter they feel now that they've read that letter aloud. So it's a really lovely session. We always end on a high note. You know, sometimes people come and they're a bit nervous, but after they come back from the reading and the breakout, it's so lovely, very uplifting.
Does anybody have a question about it? Anybody? Yeah, thank you, Claire. Beautiful description.
Yeah. And you know, if you would like to sign up, you can put your name in the chat if you would like to get the regular email reminders every Friday. Or you can contact admin@jenniferhadley.com.
Yeah, just to contact admin. So it's basically for people who are in Masterful Living and Finding Freedom. It's basically what it is. So we have a lot of different resources, lots and lots of support groups. So really, Forgiveness Fridays is our forgiveness support group. And has anybody had an experience of the reading of the forgiveness letters that was really, really helpful to them that they might like to share, just to encourage people to do that with a safe person to read a forgiveness letter? Anybody? Carolyn?
Absolutely. I did a series of 60 days writing a forgiveness letter every day, and I would come to the Forgiveness Fridays and I would read one. And then I took a sabbatical. I didn't write my forgiveness letters. I said, enough, I've written enough. And one Friday, I just had a sense it was time to go to a Forgiveness Friday. And I was going to go and read an old one. And I just went and I was a listener. And I got so much from listening and being in just the place of forgiveness that it really was more powerful for me than writing my own forgiveness letter. And so what I did was start writing some forgiveness letters again, because I have a thought I can do this on my own. Thank you, I can handle this on my own, but I can't. And being with people who are truly about forgiving is an extraordinary, tender, kind, loving place. It's like no place I've ever witnessed. So yes, it's a powerful, powerful opportunity.
Yay, it is. It is. You know, because one of the things that heals our heart, thank you so much for that, Carolyn, that was beautiful. One of the things that heals our heart is when we extend love, right? So one of the things we're doing in becoming masterful is we're becoming masterful at extending love, offering loving kindness, offering compassion. This is one of the most fundamental practices that we have as a spiritual practice, is our capacity to extend love, to share love. Does anybody have any questions right now? Okay, what I would like to do is to send everybody into a breakout. That's one of the most basic things that we do in our Masterful Living classes, is we break out into small groups, usually 2, 3, or 4 people. And so each person can have an opportunity to share what's going on with them. So one of the things that you can do, I'm gonna ask you to do in this, and I'll put this in the chat for you now, is, oh my gosh, look at all the things I missed in the chat. yeah, it says here, Claire says, and sometimes we have to write several forgiveness letters on the same topic. It doesn't mean we haven't done it right. We just forgive at a deeper level. Yes, because we're releasing the attachment to the meaning we've made of it. And the meaning we've made of it has often become part of our identity, right? We see ourselves as a victim. We see ourselves as, oh, I'm an idiot because I let them do it to me. What are some other opinions that we have that we are, we should have stuck up for ourselves, and we're not willing to let these attack, self-attack thoughts go. So we sometimes have to write several forgiveness letters till we give ourselves permission to let it go. That's pretty normal for things that feel really strongly attached. So there's lots of beautiful comments here about Terrence sharing and Claire sharing and Bob. And let's see here. And Rebecca says, reading the forgiveness letters out loud with another witness has a more profound effect than just writing it. There is no discounting the writing alone, mind you. Melissa says, I've never had a safe place to speak. You know, one of the most beautiful things to me was in the height of the intensity of Black Lives Matter, the beginning of it in our summer explosion this year. In our Sundays with Spirit, we do breakouts, and someone told me that in their breakout, there was a woman there who was a Black woman who turned on her camera in the breakout. And she said, and she was with white people. And she said, this is the first time I've ever felt safe to turn on my camera in one of these things. And it just made me cry. I feel emotional now thinking about it, that this is so important to our community, that we're offering a safe space to each other. And by offering the space, safe space to each other, it's evidence that we're really beginning to offer the safe space to ourselves, So when we can practice extending compassion, extending kindness, listening with compassion, and really intending not to judge whatever someone else is sharing, then we can begin to practice that with ourselves. It is profoundly healing. Love is the only healer we have. So thank you for that, Rebecca. And so I'm going to invite you to go into a breakout now, and I'm going to put in the chat what I'm going to invite you to speak, share about. Any realizations that you're having about the attachment to the interpretation of the past, and any doubts you have about letting the past go. So that's the thing to discuss in the breakout. And I will, and I'm just asking you in your groups to please make sure that you have, everybody gets a chance to share, please. See if everybody can get a chance to share. And I think Jerry, you're in here twice, I think, right? I see an iPhone. Jerry,
yeah, my computer speakers aren't working.
Yeah, no worries. It that happens to all of us sometimes. So I just wanted to make sure. I'm going to put both Jerrys in the same group. Okay, here we go. I'm going to open the rooms, and you're going to see a button on your screen. I love it when everybody comes back. So, has anybody had any ahas or insights from the breakout? Anybody have ahas or insights from the breakout? Okay, great. Kristen, let's see, can you unmute yourself there? There we go.
Am I on mute?
You are.
Oh. Ah, right.
Did you have something you'd like to share, Kristen?
Oh, sorry. I'm supposed to share something.
If you would like, you don't.
I'm for the first time here, and I also didn't last class, but it was lovely to share with my other two group members. And what touched me when one shared is we need to realize. He said, "I need to realize my wholeness," and I thought that's very good. Remembering.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, there's yes, I hear you. You're breaking up a bit, but I do okay. Get that the inspiration is that we're remembering our wholeness.
Yes.
Yeah, beautiful. And for me, it's been very, very helpful to realize, oh, everyone is already as perfect, as whole, and as holy as we can ever, ever be. This is the teaching of A Course in Miracles. We're already as holy as we can be. I like to say it, we're already as holy can be. But this is one of the things, Jesus has a section in A Course in Miracles where he talks about how people will spend lifetimes in meditation trying to achieve holiness. But one of the things that's happening there is we're actually affirming that we're not already holy. So this is, he says, those, if somebody does that, they will have success because of their intention. It's spirit. And their higher self, the Holy Spirit, will follow their intention. But we don't have to spend our lives in meditation to get holy because we're already holy. What our work is, and this is what the workbook lessons of A Course in Miracles are about, our work is to let go of the idea that we're not holy. And this is what the forgiveness work is all about. Forgiving ourselves for believing that we're not holy. Forgiving ourselves for believing we were victims. Forgiving ourselves for believing that we didn't have what it takes. And going back to what Terrence shared, you know, my experience in the beginning of doing this work of really living A Course in Miracles, really applying these teachings, moving out of the study and into the application in a very concerted way. One of the things that I saw in myself was the transforming of the belief that this stuff works for other people, but it doesn't work for me because I don't have what it takes. It can't work for me. And so seeing that it could work for me was a huge eye opener to me. And that inspired me to then start these classes. I really felt directed by spirit to teach what has been called the roadmap and to undoing these false beliefs and living without them. So we just have a couple minutes left here. I'd like to see, does anybody have anything that they would like to ask? Anything they'd like to ask? And we have another class tomorrow. Yeah, Patrick.
So when I wrote my letter, so I've done a lot of forgiveness work, and there's a guy that I coached earlier this year who I hadn't been in touch with for 6 weeks. And when I was writing my letter, several things happened in my life. One is he sent me an acknowledgement to thank me for the difference that I'd made for him.
Yeah. And,
right. I actually coached him to get over abuse at the hands of a priest. And so it was like, unbelievable, right? And so here he came back while I was doing my forgiveness, you know, just clarifies the truth of the energy field. The other thing that happened is I haven't added any YouTube videos to my channel for like 2 years. I've just been like done. And right in the middle of writing my forgiveness letter, I stood up and recorded one. And then later in the day, I made two more. And right. So it's like, I know they exactly go together. So now getting to my question. So I found as I wrote, I was very succinct. And I was without a lot of emotion. It's not that it was none, it's just, it was without a lot. And that I wouldn't, I'm just not in a stage where I wanna like blame somebody. So what I was actually writing to myself about forgiving was about like, I created a life with a very high spiritual gradient. And that means I've had a lot of intense challenges. And I kind of got present to like 50 years of pain. And it's like, can I forgive myself for creating such a high intensity life for myself? And can I actually settle down out of fight and flight into restore? And the question comes, what do you think about writing from that kind of perspective with less emotion versus the need to blend more emotion in? And how can you kind of guide me if I'm not really feeling the blame of others kind of emotions, like where to make sure that I'm really fully mining my emotions and getting what needs to on the table, and that I, you know, I'm just double checking myself, that I'm not tricking myself into hiding some stuff off to the side. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, that's a beautiful question, Patrick. Can others relate to that as well? Yeah. So one of the things that happens for us as spiritual students, and Patrick, are you a student of the course?
I'm not, but I'm very close with people who are, so much that it feels like I am.
Yeah, and you've been doing the spiritual work a long time. So that's it. Many times when we have been doing the spiritual work a long time, we are less emotional about it. We are more realizing, okay, these are the beliefs, these are the mental constructs, these are the thoughts, and there is a lot less emotion. And some people are more intellectual and some people are more emotional. So there is no right or wrong about it. And some people are out of touch with their feelings. And some people are extremely emotional. So we have all these different variants. Where do you feel like you lie?
I feel like I'm very emotional, but I've resolved much of it that there's just not that much to do emotionally. Like there's still some, but there's not a ton anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So that often happens. I was talking, I'm training spiritual counselors in an intensive training this week. And I was talking earlier in the week about how sometimes when we've done a lot of this work and we're even sitting with a client who's gone through something horrific, that we ourselves do not feel particularly emotionally moved by it. It doesn't mean our heart isn't open and we're extending love, but we don't feel emotional. A lot of times when we feel emotional, it is because our perspective is filled with attachments that are getting triggered, that are being healed. So if there is a lot of emotion, that triggering is going on and we are having a healing. And if there's less of it, it could be that we're out of touch with ourselves, but it could also just be that, like you, Patrick, a lot of resolving has already happened. And so I'm going to ask, let's say, Carolyn, if you don't mind me asking, you had told us that you had done so many forgiveness letters. Do you feel like generally your forgiveness letter writing experience is less emotional now?
Yeah, absolutely. I hadn't really noticed that. The one that I wrote last night was one of the ones that I had been writing on several times. And when I first wrote the first one, man, I was mad and upset and sad. And now I was more just looking at it. So yeah, absolutely.
Beautiful. Yeah. So when there's a strong attachment, there's often a lot of emotion that's coming up for healing. The attachment is coming up for healing. The emotions are showing us the attachment and there's a catharsis. But many of us with sometimes even very deeply held things, we can move to a place of we've worked through a lot of the emotion and now we can just see that we still have some intellectual attachments to our perspective and we're willing to let those go, just like exactly like Carolyn described. Does that help you, Patrick?
Yeah, it's interesting to think of having intellectual attachments. Like that's a new frame and a new way of thinking about it. It's like, okay, let's explore forgiveness from there for a while.
There you go. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Cool. You know, I do find that generally the majority of Course in Miracles students do tend to be more intellectual. They do tend to be, they're attracted to what seems like the intellectual aspects of the course. It's a very heart-opening course, but a lot of times the intellectuals miss that. And it's not till they really get deeply into it that they recognize it. Thank you for that, Patrick. Yeah, and how exciting that you're shooting your YouTube videos. So what are your YouTube videos about?
Structured water, living water.
Okay, great. What in the chat, what do you, can you give us a link to your YouTube channel?
Sure, be happy to, thanks.
Yeah, very cool. I'm very much into living water, new water, live water. Living here in Vermont, we have a well, so it's well water. And oh, I'm always happier when it's well water. And,
nice.
And
yeah,
new water.
We've just created devices that are brand new to this planet that have crystals and copper and minerals, and we're finding that they're very much alive. And these are creating results we've never had before. So that's what's happening. That's this new story is starting to come out of me.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for sharing.
My pleasure.
More to come. All right. So, well, that's it. I'm going to say a prayer and close us out for the day. And then we'll be back here tomorrow, which I look forward to, and we'll do our part three. And I'll just say that one of my goals for you is that you will be inspired to write another forgiveness letter and to keep on going. And because here in the United States, we've got our biggest family holiday coming up this year, Thanksgiving. Every year, it's the biggest family holiday that we have. And this year, we are being told not to gather, not to be with our families. So, and so many people have passed away this year. There's so many more families that are having that first year without that loved one. The first Christmas, first Thanksgiving, first, you know, a year of firsts. And very, very challenging. So we're doing this self-forgiveness work for everybody. And most especially for our families, because it really will absolutely change the dynamics in your family. Anybody in Masterful Living seeing that it's changed the dynamics of your family? And just give a good wave so they can see. Yeah, there you go. So it's really worth doing. It's liberating all beings. And we are grateful. We are thankful to open ourselves to unlimited, unprecedented love. The truth of our being, this is what we are. We're partnering up with that higher Holy Spirit self. We're relinquishing all attachments to living in lack and limitation, to living in victimhood, to living in resentment and regret and blame and shame and hurt. We're allowing ourselves to be liberated from the meaning we've made of things. We are grateful and thankful to surrender all attachments to our interpretations. We're relinquishing the attachment to our beliefs about the past. So grateful and thankful to set ourselves free. We share the benefits with all beings naturally because we are one with them. In gratitude, we let it be, and so it is. Amen. 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 Yes. Mwah. Bye for now. See you tomorrow.